First of all, I was just saying thank you all for being here. And I made mention of the fact that I see a lot of familiar faces, a lot of good friends. I also see some new faces, people that I don't know, which is always a delight. And today, what's especially exciting is I see lots of old friends that I have not seen in a long time. And that is a complete joy. And so, to each and every one of you, welcome. And it's wonderful to have you all here. And two of the old friends that I have not seen, or I had not seen in a long time until recently, are my guests today. This is Peter Mitchell and Anne Sweet. Peter and Anne, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you for having us. It's a real joy to be here. Thank you.
I'm very excited. So I will just offer a few words to get us started, and we have a fairly limited time, so I think this hour is going to go by very quickly. I guess it was about a year ago, or maybe a little less, that Peter first contacted me, and he said that he had written a book called The Space Between Us, and it was about collective spiritual work that he had started with a number of people, and being one of those. And this was of particular interest to me. I was immediately interested because Peter and Anne were both members of a spiritual community that I was also a member of years ago. And a big part of our focus, and many of, I think, many of the most remarkable things that we all experienced was in the domain of collective awakening, which I would just define very briefly as realizing the possibility of an awakened field of consciousness that could be generated between individuals, so that awakening didn't necessarily wasn't limited to the interior experience of a single individual, but became a kind of living field that people engaged in. And what Peter told me is that he and Anne and others, for the last few years, have been continuing and expanding and developing that work, and that he'd written a book about it because it had been going so well. And of course, I wanted to see it. And I read it and I really loved it. And so I've published it. I've supported the publishing of that book. And so today, part of today is a way for us to introduce Peter's book. And the other part is for us to speak with Peter and Anne about the work that they're doing that is the topic of the book, that this collective work that started a few years ago. And just to say a few words about Anne, we won't have too much time to get into everybody's personal background, but Anne, again, is someone I knew years ago in community, but I also know that she's had quite a journey since and experienced some deep fulfillment of her path and shared her realizations in different ways. And I'm sure there's an enormous amount of what she has experienced since I knew her that's also feeding into this work, which is thrilling to me. So with that very brief introduction, I think I would like to hear from both of you, maybe, but why don't we start with you, Peter, just to hear what's happening? What is it that you're doing? Why was it exciting enough to write a book about? How's it been going?
The whole thing has been, it's been quite a revelation, Jeff, because it started out as quite a surprise. It was four old friends from that community who hadn't really met individually, collectively, I mean, for a long, long time. And Anne got the four of us together for a chat. And it was only the day afterwards we realized in that meeting something extraordinary had sort of arisen between us, because we could still feel the reverberations the day afterwards. It was like, wow, something happened there. And so we sort of reconnected and started to realize that we were meeting in something that was beyond our history. There's a lot of shared history from that community, good and bad and indifferent and all over the place. And that just wasn't a reference point in this meeting anymore. We met in something fresh and brand new. and that was interested in this very moment, what was actually arising between us in the moment. So we wanted to carry on meeting, and over time we thought, this is too precious just to keep between the four of us. So we started to invite people who we thought might resonate with the field, that we talked about it as a field of being. And slowly the group over 3 years has sort of evolved and expanded, and it's sort of opened and contracted. It's flowing, but it does feel like every meeting when we get together is a continuation of that very, very first one. It's like there's a living thread flows through them all. And more recently, I just felt I had an impulse that this needed to be communicated. Again, it was that sense that it can't be contained within the group that we were meeting within. It wanted to be shared. And the finger sort of pointed at me. Well, if anyone's going to write, it's going to have to be you, mate. So I did, and it flowed really, really easily. And yet, obviously I was communicating with other people in the group and sharing ideas and getting feedback. And so it's a group effort. Mine was the hand that wrote the thing, but it was a shared experience, like our group meetings. And it now feels that we've actually got to the point with the book being launched out into the world that we really want, the sense of a containment within the walls of our group is getting very porous, and we're sensing other groups outside and connections being made. And this just, this book launch today just feels like part of that same process. So I'm going to hand it over to Anne now, because I'm sure she's got some other things that she'd like to add in here.
I'm sure, and I might want to throw in a question in between for Anne,
Oh,
because
go. Yeah, go for it.
I don't think I realized until this moment that it was Anne that got the original group together. And so, along with anything else you want to share, Anne, I'm curious, what was your thought in getting that group together? Because as Peter said, those of us who were in community together, we have quite an interesting, complicated history. So, what were you thinking? What did you have a kind of collective awakening in mind, or was it just an inspiration?
No, it was blind. It was one of those moments where, I'm sure we all have experience of this, where you're kind of told to do something by, I don't know, by something deeper than your normal senses. And I've been an artist all my life, and I've never convened a meeting, and these guys hadn't really kind of connected all of those times. So I knew I had to convene this meeting, even though I was like terrified to create something like that, even though I knew them all individually. But there was an inner pressure that said this must happen, but I had no idea why. I had absolutely no idea why. And as Peter said, there was a certain quality in that meeting that was extraordinary. And it wasn't just old friends catching up or reconnecting or talking about, their lives. As Peter said again, the field emerged, and that field was, it was divine. It was divine. There was complete relaxation and trust and love and an openness that was inclusive of everyone. And no one had to say anything if they didn't feel, there was no pressure to perform or to make anything happen. We were just in this field of intense being that was so nourishing and so fulfilling, and that none of us had personally created. So that was really the genesis. And that quality that I've just described has grown and developed and magnified over time.
And how often have you been meeting in this recent incarnation?
So we initially, it was a little random when there was very just a few of us. It was like when we could convene our diaries. But as the group grew, we realized it had to become a little more formal. And we were meeting every 3 weeks, once every 3 weeks, until probably about a year ago, and we decided to up the frequency. So it's once a fortnight now. So yeah, for about 90 minutes up to a couple of hours. The meetings seem to have a natural rhythm to them, a natural flow. So there's no agenda, there's no sort of, no one's what clock watching. We just seem to get to a natural point in the meeting where it just falls silent, and we, realize that particular meeting has sort of has had its time, and then we meet again in 2 weeks. So there's a rhythm to it.
So I find this very fascinating, the work that you're all doing. And as I said, in a past incarnation of our lives, we were very focused on work like this and experienced incredible collective states of being that emerged, as you're talking about, between people. After that incarnation, I did other work in that was very specifically about collective awakenings, quote unquote, which was really bringing people together with the expressed intent of generating something between them. I haven't done so much of that since, but among people in the circles that I travel in, there's a lot of interest in that. There's people here I recognize today who are leading groups in which that's the focus. And so I'm just curious to hear your experience because, I know that you have a lot of background. We have a lot of shared experience. We also have different experience. When we talk about the field, if we could just talk a little bit more about that to bring that idea to life. What is the field that you're experiencing? And does it have boundaries or is it here?
I would say it's here. Jeff, could I read a little passage from the book? Because
Of course you could.
this was when I was writing the book. It was because it's an intangible yet very tangible. It's a paradox. It's hard to catch it, define it, put words to it. But it's a very profound experience. Like Anne said, there's a divine quality to it. So I struggled in the book trying to capture it. So I'd actually quite like to read what I wrote in the book, if that's okay.
Yeah, please.
So, what is this field of being? In writing this book, that was the first question I had to sit with. Not to define it, not to catch it. That would be like trying to catch a river in a bucket. But to recognize when we meet and relax our boundaries, our barriers, when we loosen our sense of identity, something extraordinary emerges. The experiences of sharing a real and palpable intimacy, something beyond words that cannot be defined, only recognized. When someone speaks, it touches us more deeply than at the mere intellectual level. It resonates in our sense of self as true, as insightful, as authentic, and relatable. We become aware of a shared presence. A heightened sense of listening that carries a level of intensity, of concentration, yet remains relaxed and not forced. We can see just by looking that we are immersed in a similar joint experience. People light up, their eyes sparkle. The sense of exploring at the edge of the known rather than merely repeating brings an aliveness to the space, a sense of anticipation without expectation. It's an awareness of the organic connection we share, deeper than the surface level ways we usually relate. We recognize it as the presence already here, revealed when our limited sense of self recedes into the background, and our meetings offer the perfect space for that shift to occur.
Beautiful. And I'm sure you can tell everyone hearing that. It's actually a very beautiful book. It's bravo, by the way, Peter. It's very
Thank you.
well written.
I
And
think
the book.
one of the things I'd like to say about in the
Yes.
writing of it, because it's not a book about the field. It's not a book about the experience. It's not a book about how to do it. It's the field itself. It's written from the field. It's sort of and in the field itself inviting reaching out and inviting people into the experience itself. And so I because it's very easy to write a book about something, but this is the book is the thing, in my humble opinion.
Wonderful. Well, it definitely has that feeling upon reading it. Anne, did you want to add anything to this exploration of the nature of the field?
I think what I'd like to add is the contrast in the way that we normally relate with each other. So normally how we relate is from our kind of personal world to another person's personal world. And there's usually defenses, and as Peter said, it's kind of a known quality to the conversation usually. But it's two worlds trying to interact or find common ground. So that's what I find is the normal kind of way of relating. And there's a spectrum, obviously, of that intimacy from, quite distant to quite close. But this is a fundamentally different quality of being together. And it takes certain conditions. I think Peter will probably talk about this, certain conditions for that to occur. And it means that we have to, in a sense, leave that personal identity and personal self in the background and be willing to be very vulnerable and very present and very real with our experience. And it doesn't have to be a fancy experience, it just has to be a real experience. And the authenticity that Peter mentioned and the transparency that I was indicating helps to create, and I can feel it now in this
Very
gathering,
much, yeah.
just speaking in that way and being willing to expose what it is to be, seen, and what it is to be talking about what's important and real to me, and not really knowing what I'm going to say next, creates the environment where this presence or beingness or togetherness can manifest, can arise.
Beautiful. I mean, I guess one of the things that strikes me is, there's something in what Peter wrote. There's a little phrase that jumped out at me where you think you said something about the field is already there, as if we were exposing the field that's already there. And one of the reasons I stopped doing a lot of explicitly collective awakening work is because it felt important not to make collective work somehow separate from, we're in a collective all the time anyway. It really has more to do with the quality of the collective, because we're always part of a collective field of consciousness. We're not creating one, but we have the opportunity, as you were just saying, Anne, to meet in a kind of direct contact, soul to soul, self to self, where it's not, as you said, a persona meeting persona. There's an actual contact, and in that is where that kind of electrical impulse of intimacy arises. And it doesn't have to happen in dialogue. It can happen just in anytime you drop your guard, your defenses, your ideas about yourself, and just meet the moment. You can tap into that. And so, yes. And as you were saying, Anne, there are conditions that make that more possible, that make that easier. And so I think it would be great to talk a little bit about what those conditions are, and what you've discovered, and how you've been working with those in the work that you're doing.
What seems to be the most crucial thing is, and mentioned it, is just about being real about who you are in this. It's not a performance. It's not turning up with something that you want to present to the group. It's just turning up raw, undefended, vulnerable, transparent, exactly as you are, and living on that it's like being on a threshold. You sort of, there's that sense of everything, that potential, but you don't quite know what's going to emerge in the speaking. And it's almost like as you speak, a thread develops. You're sort of pulling on something. So it's about being ultimately who you actually are, rather than who you think you are or who you want to present to people. So that seems to be sort of the number one sort of gateway. I wrote about it in the book as your path is the portal. We each have a wealth of individual experience that brought us into this moment. And in some traditions, there's that sort of balance between personal and impersonal, where the impersonal is taken as, you have to get rid of all that stuff that's sort of irrelevant. But our experience in the group is actually the personal is the portal that exactly who you are with all your history and everything in this very moment, being real about who you actually are, but in a way that's undefined. You don't come with a definition. And in that transparency and vulnerability, you are opening yourself for something greater than you to come through. And it's again echoing what Anne said, you start to realize it's not separate personal worlds butting up against each other. We are already connected at a deep level, and it's allowing ourselves to sink to that level where that connection is alive and vital and becomes the sort of the living flow between us. So authenticity, vulnerability, transparency, those are all sort of key to being present. And then I think the next one is the ability to just listen. Again, you're not bringing something to present, you're just opening yourself to what's actually going on. So there's everything that's going on in you. There's everything that's going on in the meeting. You are this sort of permeable membrane between the two. And out of that, something creative emerges, sort of an impulse arises. And then if everybody in the group is doing that, you start to get this sort of sense of resonance between people. So someone says something and you immediately, it sort of lands in a place way beyond your sort of conceptual mind. It's like it touches your heart. And that sort of, you get this sort of current flowing between you and a sort of a sense of a coherence that you're plugged into a bigger picture that you don't necessarily personally see, but that emerges between you. I'm going to hand over to Anne because I'm sure there's extra things that she would love to add in at this point.
Sure.
You did very well. I think also, just building on what you've just said, Peter, is the transformational aspect, which I find extraordinary, because as seekers, we really struggle, to get where we want to get to somehow. There's always this kind of an endless seeking mechanism that so many of us have struggled with. And often for a very long time. And what seems to happen in the group, because the barriers are down and because the striving doesn't really have a place there, the personal trans there's the group quality that Peter's described very well. But what also happens is personal transformation, because people get in touch with the core and the nature of their own being in ways that hasn't maybe been accessible in the same way. And so there's a deep resting and finding of that self nature, the elusive self nature, the often elusive self nature. And when someone is speaking from their own self and having that recognized in a group of their peers and trusted people, having that affirmed and saying, yes, we see you. We acknowledge the authenticity with which you're speaking and the depth with which you're speaking and the truth that you're speaking. That enables people to literally leap to the next kind of not level, but it can not consolidates. I don't know what the words are, but it's an affirming and assuring and deepening place from which people can then expand and grow and feel confident. Because a lot of this work, I feel, is really about being seen and really about having one's reality and one's truth and one's own self acknowledged and recognized. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts of these kinds of groups, that it's an arena where that is very much part of the picture. And we've seen the most extraordinary transformations in 3 years. We've seen them in a year. It's been amazing, absolutely amazing. And gives a sense of what's possible. Instead of being a seeker who slogs it out, meditating and doing retreats for 20 or 30 or 40 years, this is like an accelerated cauldron that enables that transformation to happen far more creatively and easily and quite magically. Shall I read that?
Yeah, go on, you read your bit.
So sometime before the group started, I wrote this piece, and it goes like this. In my ideal world, one way of passing on the perennial wisdom without the inherent power imbalances and often ugly distortions of the usual teacher-student relationship would be for a small group of self-realized, spiritually mature people, self-realized slash spiritually mature people operating as a self-regulating collective to come together whose sole purpose was the spiritual and human development of self and others. The group members would be acting from a higher calling and not needing to promote a personal agenda or ideology or being seen as the teacher or knower. The group will have already established between themselves a rare degree of trust, intimacy, and true spiritual union, a unified field of love, authenticity, and non-separation. Together, they would provide an open forum for spiritual seekers to ask questions and receive responses based on the collective wisdom of the group, including that of the questioners. With a foundation of no fixed dogma or personal knower to protect and uphold, the responses emerge from the spacious, unknowing ground of true collective interpersonal wisdom. This collective ground or field is the crucible for the evolution of the individual and the group, a safe, sacred, dynamic, and infinitely creative space, free from the usual fixations on an individual teacher and their specific worldview and approach. So that's kind of a framing for what's possible in a wider sense.
Beautiful. And you wrote that before the group started. Beautiful. So I'm going to pick up, I think, on what you've both been saying about, I think Peter talked about it as being real and talked about intimacy. And I just want to say that this gathering for me is kind of overwhelmingly amazing in that there are so many people that I keep noticing that I haven't seen for years, but knew really, really well. And I sort of want to jump into their little square and be on their side to say hello. And there's people here that I've known more recently very closely and the scatter. And so I'm just feeling something powerful about. You know, Anne was just talking about how, you don't need to slog through. And maybe if we have time at some point, Anne, you can tell us a little more about your own realization of this. But you don't need to slog through years of seeking endlessly to experience this kind of accelerated awakening. And most of us here have slogged through something to get here. And that's part of what's in this field. And not only that, but many of us, either personally or just through association, have historical connections. And so there's something about that that I'm just finding in the moment is very powerful. And I, because I think there's so much, one of the things that excited me about the work that you were doing and about the fact that Peter had written a book is because I know firsthand, as do many of the people here, the years of intensive work that went into every little advancement of that kind of collective. And like Peter said, some of it was completely crazy, and probably, we took three steps back for every three steps forward. But year after year, we kept going. And so when I heard that you guys were doing this work, and especially after I read Peter's book, and I could feel the sensitivity that it reflected, sensitive to what's possible, sensitive to what it takes, sensitive to the conditions that actually allow people to flower, rather, so it's not so much, as was just reflected in what you read, Anne, it's not so much about adhering to a particular point of view or conforming to a particular set of ideas, but really flowering and growing together in a state of sort of shared revelation, that just It excites me to no end to know that the two of you and the group that you are gathering with are embarking on this with that level of depth and sensitivity. And so what I guess I would like to hear from you, or one possible, I'd like to hear anything you want to say, to be honest, but one possible thing I could imagine is just the tremendous potential that this kind of work holds for the individuals, for the world we live in. I mean, that's why we were doing that. I mean, we were doing this for decades because we felt like it was the most important thing. And I would love to hear what your current thoughts are about why does this matter? Why is it worth the time and energy that it takes?
So this is a sort of an understanding that's grown from the very beginning of the group. I mean, I think Anne had this incredible vision for the potential of what the group could evolve into, and for being a catalyst for transformation. I'm not sure all of us at the beginning necessarily shared that vision. It's something we grew into as a lived experience. It started out as a very delicate flower, and it was needed nurturing and supporting. And as it then it grew in sort of resilience and confidence, we started to get plugged into this bigger vision that I think Anne has had from the very beginning. And that keeps happening. That's sort of a growing, evolving sense. And recently, there have been some quite significant shifts. So, we had one meeting where one woman who's actually here in the meeting, who's had a history of working with women who've suffered trauma at the hands of men, expressed the fact that she was in a meeting where 50% of the people were men who she didn't really know, other than in the context of the group, and feeling herself completely and utterly at ease in that context, and finding that surprising to herself, because she was able to relax in that context. And it was only afterwards sort of Anne brought up the fact that the transformation isn't just happening at individual levels. It's almost as if on a deeper gender level, there was a sort of the men as a group was in emerging as an entity in itself with really beautiful qualities. So as we sink sort of below the personal into this sort of transpersonal realm, I think there's all sorts of implications for how we are in all sorts of dynamics that operate between human beings. So that was just one example. And now it just feels like, we had another meeting recently where one member expressed almost a sense of frustration at the containment within the group. Not that there was a problem or that there was something that wasn't right, but just the sense that this is really wanting to expand out into the world now to have real world effects. And I wrote in the book certain ideas about where it might sort of have an impact, sort of in education, in politics. If people can come together and just drop all their ideas that they have to bring to the table and just meet in presence, maybe with a specific agenda to discuss. But if people can come together in that sort of intimacy and trust and passion to find some truth, I think the potential for how human beings in all sorts of different environments can just, it could be really transformational for human culture. In so many different arenas. Again, I've got a little passage in the book if I could read that if we've got time.
Definitely, please.
So, cultural evolution in real time. The group is more than a private circle of spiritual friends. Over time, it's become clear that something is not just shifting within us or even between us, but through us. We're participating in maybe a form of real-time cultural evolution, a subtle rewiring of the collective nervous system, a new form of relational intelligence. At times, it feels as if the space between us is growing its own awareness, or perhaps more accurately, supporting an awareness that transcends any one individual, an intelligence that arises from the deeper layer of the whole, where our commonality is connection, not difference. We're not just passive recipients of some external wisdom, but both the source and ground of our own transformation. We are not just developing better relational habits or becoming more sensitive communicators. We are witnessing the emergence of a new kind of coherence, one that may be reaching into and reshaping the foundational structures of how humans relate, belong, and become together. If that's true, it may not spread through teaching or effort. It may move like all true culture does, quietly, virally, through example. It doesn't demand to be understood. It just begins to shift what feels possible. And that to me is the real experience. It's not that it's got an agenda or direction. It's just this sort of field of radiant potential and possibility that's rippling out. And there's a wonderful quote by a guy called Ilya Prigogine, and it's in the book, but I haven't got it marked. But it's something along the fact that in a sea of chaos, small groups of coherence can have a big impact in causing transformation that ripples out through the chaos. And I think that's really our sense, isn't it, Anne, that we're sitting on almost a time bomb of potential, and it wants to emerge into the world. And meetings like this are possibilities when we can share it to a wider field, and you just really feel the radiant possibilities of it. I'm totally excited by it, as you can probably tell. Over to you, Anne.
Well, I don't know how to add anything to what you've said, Peter. It's a fantastic description. I mean, I think I look at it, say, in evolutionary terms, that every now and then there's like a breakthrough, like with women's, development and appearance in society and freedom, and in all of these stages where something significant happens culturally, which has taken a long time to build, and then suddenly it's in our experience. It's part of life, and I feel this is something else that's been waiting for its moment, and its moment is arising. And we're not the only ones working in this field, obviously. Jeff is also, a very strong proponent of this, or has been in the past, still is. And around the world, there are these, different gatherings of people developing the same thing, experiencing the same thing. And at a certain point, that all becomes a force in culture, in the culture itself. And then you get real change in real time. So at the moment, it's emerging, but there's a point where it comes where it breaks through the waterline. And then suddenly, this is the reality. And in 10 years, it becomes the norm. So I think, just in evolutionary terms, it is so incredibly thrilling. And I think that's what Peter and I are run by, and completely, aligned with, and thrilled by. Is that we sense that this is the moment. We sense that this is the moment where that possibility, and it's the most needed moment, where everything's breaking down, and where there's so much separation and so much individual pain and so much dislocation and just general breakdown. There's like a loss of soul in the world that we live in. And this is emerging as the counterpoint of this. So it feels incredibly significant. And I'm sure it's aligned with all sorts of other people working in all sorts of other ways that we're not even aware of. But at a certain point, there'll be a coming together, a coherence, as Peter said, of all of this. And that's what changes things in the way that the big changes have happened, women's liberation and black liberation and so on. So for me, it's almost difficult to grasp because it hasn't happened yet, but the signals are so strong, and the recognition of that possibility, it's not just real, it's being lived. It's being lived as an as a truth now in the kind of groups that we're participating in.
You just reminded me of something I had read from Rudolf Steiner years ago that I never forgot. and I'll be paraphrasing, but I think it relates to what this experience is and the significance of it. He was saying that because we are so intertwined karmically, because in his belief system, we'd lived so many lives and we'd encountered each other in so many different ways, and we were so intertwined karmically that it was necessary for us to awaken to our source together. We needed to see the source reflected in each other in order to recognize it in ourselves. And I think one of the things that happens that I'd love for you to speak to in this kind of work is that we see our true self reflected in the other, and then we can see it in ourselves. And sometimes that's what inspires us to embrace the reality of who we are.
I think that's actually that's a wonderful way to express it, because I think the resonance that we experience within the group is recognizing when someone else speaks from their own authentic place. You recognize that in yourself. There's it's not that, it's the other recognizing there is no other. There is this sort of sense that when someone is being completely and utterly their unique personal self, but from a deep place they're speaking from, that's also your experience. It's a bit like a tuning fork going off. They speak and it lands in you as your own experience in a way. So yes, I think that's it's that recognition of that part of you that isn't separate, but is being expressed uniquely by someone else, but it's the same source that's speaking. You sense the source coming through the particularity, and I can't think of any better way to express it than that. So.
That's a very well said. It reminds me that in some work that we were doing, a few of us were doing together, a number of us last week, we started to talk about mudita, which is the Buddhist idea of sympathetic joy, which I just think is such an important quality, and it relates to this, is you need to be able to empathize and feel joy for the awakened experience of others. So that there's this sense that everyone's awakening, like we're all participating in everybody's victories, and so often in the way that we typically relate, we're more likely to feel jealous of other people's advances, or just feel bad that, or feel like we're not catching up, where I think the reason the Buddhists made such a big deal out of the mudita was because it's important to be able to really have an open-hearted, joyful celebration of each other's realizations. And I can only imagine that you're experiencing that in the groups that you're leading, because you can't have that field emerge unless there's that kind of mutual appreciation of each other and care and concern for each other. There's the spiritual well-being of each other.
My response to what you were saying, Jeff, was that sense that when you see someone else sink down into their deeper, more authentic self, and you witness it before your very eyes, and the way they are in the meeting and the way they speak, and that sort of authority is not quite the word, because it comes out with humility as well, but that sort of confidence that when you speak from that deep, real place, as they're waking and sinking into their own self, you sink into your own self in sort of in resonance with it. So it's like what you said, it's not the personal transformation that's happening for others is also then transmitted to the group. Everybody in the group experiences that same sinking down into this level. So I think that's one of the things that gives people the confidence to start to take ownership of that part of their experience. And one of the things people have said is that they come out of a meeting in the group And they're like that with other people in the world. So it's rippling out. That transparency they experience in the group is not just for the 90 minutes of the meeting, but they take it out into the world with them as the people they are. And I think that's the power. That's how it ripples out.
That's beautiful.
I've forgotten the question.
That's okay. I was just talking about the role that being able to celebrate and empathize with each other's awakenings and realizations, how that contributes powerfully to the field, and allows everyone to be sharing in everything that happens.
I think that's a very interesting point. I think that's incredibly interesting because we stop seeing and experiencing ourselves as these isolated individuals, which is the pain of the human. That is the pain of the human, to feel separate and isolated and to have just moments of connection and to feel that we are alone somehow in this universe. And I think what is being revealed in this field, it doesn't belong to anybody, it's simply the field that's available, is deep interconnectedness without effort. And so it's not my realization or your understanding or you've taken a leap. We all share in it together. Walls literally fall away. So it's one unified field. And in that, there isn't an I and thou. There's just this. And so one person's liberation is everyone's liberation and everyone's celebration. And it's not because we want to be good people. We've all seen the fallacy of I have to be a good person. This is just a field. It's a field shared by all, and it lifts everybody up. So that would be my take, Peter. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, totally.
Beautiful. And I want to make sure that we mention that you are both now starting to move toward the expansion of this group into satellites. And I'd love for you to speak a little bit about what your future plans are. I'm also going to put in the chat a link for anyone who's interested to get more information. You've put up a web page where people can go and find out more. So I put that in the chat for everyone. And when I send a thank you letter out, that will let you know that this recording is available. The link will be in there as well. So
Brilliant.
it'll be in both places. But yes, what are your plans? How is this wanting to expand now?
So this is a very, very new, very recent emergence for us. And it's sort of all come out of the book. The book has been the catalyst for a lot of suddenly we're getting interactions with people in the wider world. Old friends who sort of given up a little bit on the path are getting back in touch, saying, "This is amazing. It's rewoken my passion." So there's this sense, and we just want to make it available to a wider audience. So there's limits with what we can do within one group. So the idea is to between us to start to facilitate small groups that would possibly be, I mean, we're still working it out. It's that new. The website is really just to catch interest at this stage while we're still exploring what it's going to look like. But the vision would be groups of maybe 8 to 10 people over sort of 8 to 10 meetings, and as an experiment to see, does this work in different contexts with different people, with new people, with different levels of interest. It's very experimental, and we're really quite excited at the potential of what this could happen. And the idea is of setting up satellite groups that would then become semi-independent, but also linked into the main group. So there'd be conversations so people could move between groups. And I have this vision of Indra's net, which is sort of a very old sort of Hindu, Buddhist, I think, even as well. Vision of these nodes of everyone's a node in a network that is connected to every other node. And I have this sense of these groups being these sort of awake concentrations that are interconnected, and suddenly there's this living breathing network of awake groups sort of interconnecting, and that is going to be a really powerful force in the world. I'm sure you've got more to say.
I think you said it very well. I think you said it very well, Peter.
It's a big experiment, but we're really excited to try it and see what potential it has. It's not that we haven't got a fixed agenda, a fixed curriculum. We want to invite people in to join in the experiment with us and see what becomes possible with this field.
I think what my experience is that we are puppets in a bigger picture. So I feel like Peter and I are puppets in a in an evolutionary movement or move or emergence or whatever the words are. We don't really have a lot of say in it, and we don't also know. We don't, it's not that we have a big plan or anything like that. We're literally being propelled in a certain direction and given only what we need for the next step. So we're finding what the evolution of this is step by step as it happens, literally in real time. But it's the most thrilling exploration because somewhere in our group and in ourselves and in other groups, there's a recognition of the significance of this and the electrifying potential of it. It's not even potential because it's already extant. It's already, in a sense, happened. It's already happened. And we're just now catching up. So there's a level of thrill that has nothing to do with the personal ambition or personal vision or anything. I don't have a vision of this. I'm literally obeying orders. And I think Peter's the same. We're obeying orders from a higher dimension. I don't like that kind of talk, but anyway, I'm talking like that. But this is like a powerful evolutionary emergence that we're participating in as servants. That's my experience.
Beautiful.
Totally.
That's amazing. So we have a few minutes before we end. Do you want to take questions? What would you two like to do?
Questions would be great.
And maybe we have time if we can keep questions short, if anyone has anything or just things you want to share. I know I would love to hear from some people I haven't heard from for a while, but that's my personal thing, and we'll see where this goes. But if you do want to speak, if you want to share something or ask a question, just raise your hand. I see Jen is sending hearts on her screen. So you raise the electronic hand and then I can unmute you. And we have Marion. Hello, Marion. Hi there.
Hi there. Hi. Thank you so much. I'm sitting here connecting. It's like the puzzle pieces are coming together for me. I was part of a spiritual community for over 20 years, and I could feel, I think, what Anne and what you're talking about, and I could never, I didn't put it into words, and I think just hearing how you're describing this is helping me appreciate what was happening and is still happening. And I feel like the pieces could fit together just as Anne is talking about. And I, the fact that there's a book is and something I can read is just expanding my understanding of and the value of what I think I could bring to similar groups. So it's exciting. So I just wanted to say thank you.
That's great.
Thank you, Marion.
Well,
That's fantastic. Fantastic.
thank you,
Be
Marianne.
in touch. Be in touch. Okay.
And can I add something, Marianne? Because what
Please.
it's that sense that individually we have an understanding, but it's when it's still within the sense of ourselves, it doesn't necessarily you don't necessarily have confidence in it, but when you're able to share it in a bigger context and have it acknowledged and recognize that what you're experiencing is what someone else is
Yes.
experiencing, and that sort of you go, wow, this isn't just me on a crazy trip. This is something that's real, that's emerging, and it gives you the the inner confidence start to trust it in a deeper and realer way, and you become more and more available to that energy and that insight. So yeah, I thought it was beautiful what you said. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Peter.
Thank you. And hello, Dawn.
Lots of other people I've met along the way. I just want to say there's a whole group, I suspect, of groups like this that are discovering one another as consciousness is discovering itself. I'm part of a group called the Integral Christian Network. Do not be put off by the word Christian, but that is the spiritual underpinning of the group. But then we have various we groups within that, or we space groups that meet and share and develop that consciousness together. I know, I see his name is now Darshan, and Patricia, all both of whom have their hands up, have also been part of these kinds of groups. So I'm just going to back off, but say it's just so exciting. Thank you.
Great,
We'll
thank you.
be in
Can I
touch.
add something to that? Because there are all these individual groups, and what I'd really like is to get conversations going between them, because I think it's this field, this wants to it wants to con it's all about connection. So it's about the connections of the individuals within the group. But then if groups can connect as well, you just get this enlarged network and so much sharing and inter exchange. It's I just think the potential is enormous and incredibly exciting. So yeah, let's all connect.
Fantastic. Yes, Darshan.
Yeah, I want to thank Peter and Anne deeply, and everyone else connected with this, because I just picked up the book about a week and a half ago, and I was blown away with what you were just saying a little while ago, Peter, how when someone expresses something that's happening, and it's your experience also in groups, that validation is releases such a surrender even to what's happening even more. And I could say a lot. I see some other hands up, but the one other thing I want to share with that I experienced, it was so funny reading this book, The Space Between Us, was last week in a gathering like this. What was experienced was actually, well, how we talked about before, the dissolving of the self was actually dissolving of the space between us, which is funny. And it was profound sense of there's no space between
There's no
us.
space.
Yeah. Or maybe there's just one space of us, the space of us that was so profound. And what I recognized too, this was another dimension that was being recognized. And I could feel questions wanting to come in and push. And I recognized that those questions don't even exist in this dimension, because they were a question about another moment or something in the future. And this dimension was just so a part of there's no that, there's only this. There's no then, there's only now. And so there wasn't questions about the future. It was just a seeing in this precise unfolding moment that we are, with no boundaries, no divisions. And it just kind of blew the mind in a way that there's dimensions that are opening up, and there's where this isn't really, I want to say, I don't know how to bring this back to the earthbound. And there's also, I feel, and I could feel it happening in my life, where it is brought back into these other dimensions of human life. So they're both here. So it's just, I just want to just express again my gratitude for this, and amazement and excitement.
That's
Well, you're
so
definitely
beautifully
bringing
expressed,
it in.
Darshan.
Yeah, you're definitely bringing it in, Darshan. You're definitely bringing it to the world now.
Right. Thank you so much. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, Jeff. It's so good to see you, and huge gratitude for bringing this gathering into being. And as many others have said, so many familiar, beloved faces and names here. And Anne and Peter,
I am part, as Dawn had mentioned, of a group that's been practicing for almost 6 years in this manner. And just a few weeks ago, we're like, well, where is this going? How do we connect? We felt this call to connect with others, and here you are. And here we are. And so there's huge excitement and huge reverence for the. I got the book on Kindle last night. I devoured it. I have completed it because I could not put it down
Wow.
because it spoke so clearly to what's happening within our small band of beloveds. And the reverence that I'm naming, this reverence where this is not something to scale or to plan for, the invitation that's presented in the book is deeply received in our own field of being, and to hear it and to read it and to have it come back, you'll be hearing from us. And again,
Oh, wonderful.
just huge gratitude.
And thank you to you, because to me it's that where these connections can go is just I think there's something exponential and uncontainable is starting to happen now, and the links are sparking, and wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Can everyone feel the power of this
Yeah.
engagement and the connectedness and what's happening? Can you, like, this is a generating energy that's becoming lived. I think it's just fantastic. Thanks, Patricia, for
Thank you.
contributing to that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And hello, Fred.
Thank you. This is all very inspiring. I'm very excited and feel very sublime in this conversation. My question is, has anyone had an experience dealing in this context of the group field, working through a real controversy, a real sense of difference, or opposition, and either productively or unproductively? I mean, I actually feel that is the most, that's where we could use this the most in the world, is making this being a sauce for a higher resolution of our controversies.
What a fantastic comment. Thank you, Fred. That's something fantastic because that is the issue. That is the human issue, isn't it? How do we deal with difference and conflict? That's the source of our problems. And Peter, I don't know if you want to talk about how that's emerged in the group and how we've handled it, how it's being handled in the group, or do you want me to?
I'll say a little bit, and then I'll pass it back over to you. I mean, we've had meetings when someone has come to the group and said that they're experiencing a lot of anger and they really don't know how to handle it. And just picking it apart within the sense of the field, you could start to understand the deeper aspects of these very strong human forces that we're all having to navigate, and to find the deeper wisdoms within them. There was the space to hold it without trying to minimize it or control it or define it, but actually to recognize it's an experience we all have, and that we can see it more clearly as we start to examine it and pick it apart. Not to come to a resolution, but just when it arises in your own being, you see it more clearly. You recognize the qualities it has, and how to navigate in it and through it. That's the only thing that's coming to my mind at the moment. Have you got anything else you want to add, Anne?
I think the group field is an alchemical field, and it doesn't mean that these sorts of things are not challenging. They're always challenging, and I don't think there'll ever come a point where they're not challenging. This is part of the human experience and the human condition that we have to navigate these situations. But in a wide open field where basically people have agreed to put their egos and defensiveness aside,
everything can be thrown into the middle and looked at from all these different perspectives, and a kind of coming together in that, in a funny kind of way. So the field itself is alchemical in terms of conflict as well. It's not that you don't have to sometimes work very hard, and it's not that it's always resolved, because that's not what life is. But the alchemical nature of the field, and the fact that people are not there as individuals who have to prove a point and who have to be seen and heard to be the knower, leaves an enormous amount of space for inquiry, for investigating, for asking questions, for coming together in a way that no one could predict, and for the resolution of conflict in a way that no individual had a forethought or a plan for. So there's something within the field itself which can alchemize conflict and separation. And it also can take a hell of a lot of personal work as well. So not to dismiss or to minimize the challenges of, human conflict and all of the challenges that we face, but to bring them into this field. And the field itself has a certain heartfulness. That's just basically the discovery, that the field itself is a field of love that doesn't belong to
Love.
anyone individually or in particular. So that is the alchemy, the deep listening, the willingness not to prove a point or be right, but to allow the resolution or the seeing to emerge, is a completely different paradigm to the way that we're normally approaching these kinds of things. And to see these things actually become genesis for further transformation is actually incredibly thrilling. Because when you're head to head like that, and you know what normally happens and the normal outcomes, which is more separation, and to see that actually there's a higher order at work in these things, there's a different beingness at work in these things that can bring a completely different result. So, but not always.
That's beautiful.
Just be real.
Yeah, but I would just like to add to that, to answer your question, Fred. I have absolutely, definitely experienced this kind of field, working in intense conflict and in atmospheres of intense conflict, in which sometimes it's me who is ri who rises above my agendas in order to see a radically objective picture that I was not seeing going into it. So it definitely can work, and it requires everybody kind of to want that. Everyone
Yes.
needs to be open and willing and want. And so I know two groups that are working in this way in the political arena, which of course is rife with conflict. One's in Europe, one's in America. And their results are mixed, because it's the success of this kind of work in a challenging arena is completely dependent on every individual being willing to set their personal agenda aside in order to be able to engage in a way that will lift the group up into, maybe a new vantage point. But it's possible. So it's worth having hope.
Thanks for that, Jeff. That was great.
Thank you all. And Richard, I'm very excited. I don't know Richard, but I was seeing you nodding your head, and I was hoping you would ask a question. Hello, Richard.
Hello. This is quite exciting. I was nodding my head because it's resonant with everything I'm experiencing in playing and experimenting with the groups that I've created, involved in, or created. The field created through me. And it is like this experiment. So I'm resonating with everything you're doing and everything that we're experiencing. And I also hold this passion to, okay, can it be scaled? And if I try and get ahead of the field to do something, it pulls me back into, no, this is what's present now. So I'm experiencing some of those same things. But I'm also interested in how this can be seeded and spread. And one of the question I'm coming in with, which I'm exploring, is that capacity for the circle. What is the group capacity? And what is the leadership or the space holder capacity? does that need to be developed? Can anybody just set in the field? And if, how do we seed or put the build the container? Is there a capacity of the leader or space holder to hold the field? Because propagation, just somebody doing it without some kind of discipline of not taking over the space, being the knower, can destroy the field. I found in one situation where one of the things that really, one of the shadows that emerges, which really destroys the connection, is advising and fixing, as an example. So what is your experience with this capacity, the space holder, or what are your thoughts around that on how that gets developed? Or does the field take care of that?
I'm going to hand this one over to Anne, because in many ways, Anne was the space holder at the beginning in our group until more people were able to step into their own sort of personal authority and sensitivity to the field and take responsibility for it. And I know Anne burned at times. Do you want to share your experience?
It's such a delicate thing. It's such a delicate thing, isn't it? I think what I found when we first started the group, there was a certain momentum that carried us for a while, but then it became very much not a hangout, but like a wonderful space just to be, you know, to hang out and to be and to have spiritual brothers and sisters to be with. You know, people had been very isolated for a long time. They were coming together in a beautiful space. And so there was a tendency to just be comfortable in the environment, you know, the online environment that had been created. And because we didn't want to go the leadership route, because we'd all seen the problems inherent, you know, with one person taking, as you said, Richard, you know, one person taking a position in that. And at the same time, I just sensed very strongly that something much, much greater was possible. So there was a struggle. There was a struggle initially, and I think for the first year probably there was a struggle to bring this field into being, and there was resistance to that. But what we found was, because of the level of personal transformation that was happening and group transformation that was happening, and lots of people left, new people came, the field itself became very grounded and very accessible and very known. And quite quickly, more and more people took responsibility for that. So instead of being just concerned with their own issues or questions or what they wanted to share, they became givers. They were holding this space as well. So the group transformed into more and more people actually able to hold the space, actually able to hold the space. And now it's pretty much running, would you say, Peter, on its own?
Oh, yeah.
So in the new groups, I don't know if I'm completely answering your question, so please correct me if I'm going off track. But in the new groups that Peter and I are starting, we will have to take that leadership role initially. But the whole point is to make the group independent in the way that our group is now independent as quickly as possible while still being involved with them. So it's not like, okay, you guys get it together and you're on your own. This is like a growing field of interconnectedness, the nodes. What did you call it, Peter? The Indra's.
This Indra's net. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So. But what it takes, and I think you were hinting at this, is that the people who are bringing this have to be pretty clean in themselves and not have a agenda or a leadership agenda. There has to be a lot of reflection and reflection. Like Peter and I think are good mirrors for that, but we have to also go outside of that, because at least in the beginning when these groups start, well, anyway, it's an evolutionary process and a growing process. But you brought something up that's very, very important, and it's something that has to be addressed and will have to keep being addressed at each step of the road, at each step of the road. Did you want to add anything to that, Peter?
No, I think you said it beautifully, that the role of that we'll be having as facilitators will be to hold the space for others to move into and find their own authority in that space, so that the whole goal is to get it going so we can step back and participate. And because we haven't run one other than the group that we're part of, so it's also a big experiment, and it's going to require a level of delicacy and awareness and sensitivity to those boundaries, and for us to reflect to each other if we're overstepping the mark. It's going to be an evolution in progress, and we are going to have to be incredibly sensitive to what's actually happening, and be willing to respond to each other and to the group, and then see where it goes.
I mean, our transparency and deep personal honesty is the key in this in these initial stage. So, and I think part of what Peter and I bring, as and this is what Jeff said in the beginning, we have slogged it out, you know, for decades. We have really slogged it out for decades to build character and to build understanding, and to be aware that, you know, we are imperfect human beings, likely to be tempted in all sorts of, you know, unhealthy ways. So all of that's in the picture. All of that's in the picture. And I think it needs to be in the picture for these groups to not go. And I think that's what you were pointing to, Richard, that these groups can so easily go off key. So it's holding a ground, but not as the doer, not as the knower, not as the controller. But it's simply the having the centeredness to hold the field and to guide without being a dictator or any kind of, to literally be there as a function of the field and not as so much as an individual director or power player.
We are highly resonant with everything we're thinking and exploring and experimenting with. I'll reach out and let's have
Wonderful.
another conversation, because I'm playing with how do you propagate seed. I'm somewhat doing the same approaches as you, but there's too much here to talk about right here, right now. This is exciting, and I know there's many, many groups around the world that are bubbling up into my awareness that are doing the same thing. So the field is moving us in this direction. I fully feel it's become a calling for me. I don't know where it goes. It's revealed one step at a time, as I sense it is for you guys. And so I'm excited to be able to talk to you a little bit more. Maybe
Oh,
we
we're
can
excited to be
do
Richard.
something about it.
Thank
Thank you,
you. Thank you.
Well, fantastic. Thank you, Richard. And
It's happening.
it's definitely happening. But yes, this was a fantastic introduction to your work, to the book. The book is called The Space Between Us. Please read it. And please do get in touch with Peter and Anne if this is exciting to you, as I think it is. It's exciting in the field at the moment. And of course, Peter and Anne, thank you so much for coming, for all the work, for writing the book, and for being here tonight to share it all with us.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Jeff, for being the catalyst to make this happen. Thank you for publishing the book to begin with, because that's the thing that's made this all possible. So, incredibly grateful. Thank you
Yeah,
so
I'm
much.
so happy. And
Thank you.
thank you,
Thank
Anne.
you. All your work, Jeff, that you do making all of this possible. Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank you, everyone.
much. Yes, and thanks everyone for being here. This feels like a wonderful coming together. Yes, hello to everyone, all old friends that I haven't seen in so long. I send you all my love. It's wonderful to see you. And my close friends from more recently, it's always a pleasure to see you. And I hope we're all together again soon. Much love to you all. Good night
Thank you.
now. Bye bye, everyone.
Good night.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
Jeff. Thanks,
Thank
everyone.
you. Bye
Bye
now.
bye.